The BBC presents My Music. A radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Thank you. Once again, My Music takes the air, and here on the stage of the Commonwealth Institute in London are four contestants. Ian Wallace with Dennis Norden, and in the absence through indisposition of Frank Muir, John Amis has as his partner Alfred Marx. As usual, we have an opening round of musical identification, but the music is rather unusual this time, one way or another. Ian Wallace, for instance, in its arrangement. Ian, what was that before the jazzmen got to it?
Touch of Bach, I would say.
Yes.
But which touch? Ha-ha, that's another matter.
Yes.
You're wanting to know exactly which bit?
I am, really, yes. Or at least what kind of a Bach piece. Does John know? I think we'll ask John. What is it, John?
It's an advertising jingle. Wash it off.
Or?
Wach it auf.
Wach it auf, yes.
Wake up!
Yes. Choral prelude on what John just said. And I can't allow Mark there, of course, Ian, but you'll pick him up later on. Dennis, one of my pet hates, I don't know about you, is British people who adopt American slang to which they're not entitled. People who say, look, man, that's not my scene, or I don't dig that, or no way, which is my unfavourite at the moment.
Well, so you can... on your pet hate, on that thing, somebody I know was in America and was at a party, and there was a young man talking, and he said to this young man, what do you do? And this young man said, well, like, man, my bag is, I'm into teaching English.
Oh, that beats the lot. Well, sharing my view, as I think you do, you can imagine how much I enjoy this song. And I'm going to ask you, who's the singer?
I dig, I'm in step. When it was hip to be hip, I was hip. I don't blow, but I'm a fan. Look at me swing, ring-a-ding-ding. I even call my girlfriend, man, I'm so hip. Every Saturday night, with my suit buttoned tight and my suede's on, I'm getting my kicks, watching arty French flicks with my shades on. I'm too much, I'm a gas. I am anything but middle class. When I hang around the band, popping my thumbs, digging the drums, squares don't seem to understand why I flip. They're not hip, like I'm hip.
Lovely lady, her own piano playing, her own song too.
Is
who
it?
Was she?
Yeah. Well, it's the same lady who did not quite as good a job of lyric writing on Georgie Fame, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that's right.
Blossom Dearie.
In the same vein as what you were talking about, do you know the story about Sir Thomas Beecham being woken up in America? Telephone rang, and said, "Who is that?" He said, "Oh, Sir Thomas, this is the Secretary of the English Speaking Union." But I don't believe it.
Dennis has a mark for Blossom Dearie. John, it's over to your turn. Music for you by a composer whose work has never yet been heard in this programme, as it happens. Can you identify him simply from the oral evidence? Very difficult, and I would be prepared to help a little if you want.
Well, I don't know the piece, but I would be prepared to guess it's American.
No, it's not. It's one of six well-known composers.
One of six.
One of six composers, of whom some are well known.
Ah,
alors, les six. Six. Which one, though?
I should think it is Mr. Eric. I mean, Georges Auric.
You'd be right for a mark. Georges Auric, yes. The youngest. I did help, but only because it was so extremely difficult. It was his only, I'm told, his only purely symphonic work, called Ouverture. He's the youngest of the six, Lysis Auric. And Alfred Marx, to you. Here's something unusual. Whose name is on the record?
Everybody sing! I tell you, my dear friends, oh, how wonderful it is! No matter wherever you are, we can all be happy and singing! No matter if you're out there parking that car along the highway, or whether you're at home sitting by the radio, or whether you're having one of the meals, or whether you're by the TV set, let everyone sing about those melting ice caps. How they're coming down into the sea.
Sounds like a rather short Cyrano de Bergerac. But it can't be that.
No.
Can't be that.
Not wrong nationality.
Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim. John's got it.
Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim.
It was the tune on the B-side of Hello, Hello, if you remember.
Yes, I never even heard the A-side.
Well, some people have all the luck. Well, the name came from your side, so you get the mark. And on to round two, some miscellaneous questions. They're all to do with music, of course. Ian, what do you suppose is a cloiture?
Cloiture. Something in music. Well, it must be. Yes. I mean, we wouldn't be asking. That's a stupid thing to say.
I mean, if it's anything to do with flowers, but this would be on Gardener's Question Time.
Tour. Overture.
Yes. Ah, now you're on the right track. You may get to it.
Oh. An overture is at the beginning.
Yes.
But a cloiture is at the end.
Marvellous. A cloiture is, in fact, an 18th century term for the closing piece of the concert, and Ian has a mark. Dennis, what part did a banjo play in the film of The Man Who Came to Dinner?
Not a banjo, as a character.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yes.
Ah, well, let's see. There's this fellow, Sheridan Whiteside.
Yes.
And one of his friends is called Banjo, who was played by Jimmy Durante.
Yes, and Sheridan Whiteside played by...
Played by Monty Woolley.
Yes, that's right. Jimmy Durante arrived like a breath of fresh air, just as the film was getting a bit turgid, if you remember. Rushes in, sits down at the piano and sings. Do you remember the song?
Have you ever had the feeling that you wanted to stay in the feeling that you wanted to stay?
That's the one, yes. Banjo was the part played by Jimmy Durante. A mark to you. John Amis, where might you find the Reverie de Georges Brown?
George Brown. I should think it's in one of those operas about romantic Scotland.
Yes, well, you were right. Whenever the setting is Scottish, whose novels have they been looking at in opera?
Usually that fellow Scott.
Yes, that's right. Yes, appropriate. Yes. It's in Act Three of an opera called La Dame Blanche.
Oh, yes, Boieldieu.
Yes, or words to that effect. Boieldieu. Yes, an opera written first produced in 1825, in which a Monsieur Georges Brown is a character. The story was derived from two, actually, of Sir Walter Scott's novels. One mark. Alfred, you're a man who travels around London a lot. Where would you find the nearest Eustachian tube?
The nearest?
Yes.
The nearest?
Eustachian
tube. Yes. In a Lago.
Anybody's, yes.
Anybody's Lago.
Eustachian tube is in your head. It communicates between the pharynx and the ear and is important in the art of singing.
Well, that's a long way of putting it. My way is much more
succinct. Yes, it is actually much more fun. Yes,
it's an ear hole, which is everything. Yes,
my answers always are longer and duller than because they're the
truth. I didn't say duller, I said longer.
Right. He wants to come back. One mark to you. And time for some opera singing.
See?
Ian, when I tell you that that singing lesson concerns Marie, the Marquise de Birkenfeld, des Sulpices, and that it was first performed in 1840 at the Opéra Comique, can you tell me the name of the opera?
Yes.
Good, you've got a mark. And we move on to Dennis Norton. Well, let's have the name of the opera.
Well, if you insist, it's The Daughter of the Regiment.
That's right, by Donizetti. Yes,
she doesn't really sound as if she needed that singing lesson. No,
she doesn't, not with that top F, whatever it was. No. Dennis, operatic plots really can be a bit far-fetched. In this particular opera, Marie is a foundling brought up by the soldiers of the 21st Regiment of Grenadiers. When they catch a mountain lad lurking around the camp, they seize him as a spy. But little Marie says, "Spare him, for he it was who saved me from falling over a nearby precipice." In fact, she wants to marry him. Dennis, you're a writer. What happens next?
You mean there's more?
And it's coming from you, yes.
Well, his name, actually, is Precipice Riccardo in Italian, which is actually Italian for Cliff Richard. And so, at any rate, he marries her, and they don't go near any precipices, and they take the circular route to get to their wedding, and that's they do the aria, "She'll be coming round."
Right, you're right, and you get a mark
something
for it.
Like yes, that, right?
My answer is that the mountain lad enlists at that point, and Marie is taken away to learn polite manners.
To learn what?
Polite manners. Because she's been drug up by all these soldiers.
Oh, I see.
John, this man Donizetti, who composed the opera, he also wrote Emilia di Liverpool and Elisabetta al Castello di Kenilworth, which always rather pleases me. But among his major operas were two written in succeeding years that have been described as Potion and Poison. What were their names, do you think? Donizetti's Potion and Poison, two operas.
Lucrezia
Borgia, yes, in 1833, that's right. Now, the year before, you won't get the other one, that was Poison. Potion was... Ian?
Elixir of Life.
Yes, Elixir d'Amore. Yes, that's right.
Che stupido io.
Stupido, but half a Marco, so that's all right. No. Incidentally, Donizetti's Don Sebastiano was described as a funeral in five acts by somebody who didn't care for it. Alfred, that excerpt from the singing lesson we heard just now ends in rather a strange way, and having heard it, I'd like you to tell us, please, what happened. And then, at the very end... What happened, Alfred?
We're still with the daughter of the regiment, of course. Yes, he's a soldier. He's a sentry actually, and he's still got his bayonet fixed on his rifle. And the opera of the daughter of the regiment was based on that she stoops to conquer. And when in fact she stooped, he in great earnestness bent down to help her, and lo and behold, pointing the wrong way, the bayonet, unfortunately. The aria is officially known as La Goose.
I would do very nicely, actually. The dull, correct answer, of course, being... that
she ran out of breath.
Well, no. The Marquise, trying to teach Marie good manners, finds herself caught up in a vulgar army song and is disgusted with herself afterwards. The singers, to save people writing to ask on that, on those various recordings, were Joan Sutherland, Monica Sinclair and Spiro Melas. And just having a glance at the score at the halfway mark, leading by half a mark, are John Amis and Alfred Marks.
Well.
All you have to do in this round is supply the name. Ian. He was born in 1848, knighted in 1903. He composed Song of Farewell and The Blessed Pair of Sirens. He died in 1918. Who was he?
Sir Hubert Parry. He was a tremendous athlete who did everything that was dangerous, both on land and sea. I remember reading about him somewhere once where it said that he, in the course of his athletic pursuits on both land and water, he sustained almost every conceivable injury short of those which were immediately fatal.
Yes. A lovely man, and then rushed home and wrote Jerusalem.
Yes.
As he did. Endeared himself to women's institutes throughout the country. Dennis, born 1917, he got his nickname because of his eccentric behaviour and brilliant trumpet playing. He was co-founder with Monk and Parker of Bebop. Who was he?
Well, the only name I can think of, but yes, it must be, it's Dizzy Gillespie.
Yes, it is, for a mark. Mm. And we move on to John Amos. John, born 1583, organist at Chapel Royal and at Westminster Abbey, he composed, among other things, Fantasies on the Street Cries of London. Who would that be? And Alfred is writing down something for you.
Ah, yes, yes.
Oh,
yes,
you've got
yes.
it anyway.
Orlando Gibbons.
Yes, one mark. Alfred, born 1875, son of a Sierra Leone doctor and an English girl, one of his compositions filled the Royal Albert Hall annually for many years. Who was he?
I don't know, but I know a very good story about Beethoven. And if I tell it to you, can I get the mark?
You can have half a mark.
All right, then. Beethoven's butler approached the maestro one day and said, Herr Beethoven, I'm having to leave your service. And Beethoven said, why? What do you mean, Erhard, still playing the piano? And he said, I can't stand all this piano playing, night and day, piano, piano, all these late parties every night. And Beethoven said, you can't leave me. You have been with me all these years. It's impossible. You can't leave me. And the butler said, I'm sorry, Herr Beethoven. I must go. I'm driving me mad. And Beethoven said, but you can't go. You are my inspiration. And the butler said, I am your inspiration. Don't make me laugh. And the butler's name was Coleridge Taylor.
Thanks to John's assistance.
Right.
Yes, that's right. Coleridge Taylor, the composer of Hiawatha, which is the work I was referring to. Oh, well, between you, you get the full mark then, don't you? There, back in the good old days of the cinema, when a visit to your friendly neighbourhood cinema was a pleasure, rather than the rather grim business it is now, they used to have all sorts of short films, newsreels, cartoons, travelogues, and what we used to call interest films. Some of these short films had memorable themes, which I'm now going to revive, insofar as I can remember them, on the piano. Ian, what would you expect to hear after this? No. No, you got the wrong company. Yeah. Wrong company.
Oh, it was a newsreel, anyway.
Yes, a newsreel. Dennis, can you help him with
it's
the...
It's Paramount.
Paramount, it? Yes, yeah. Paramount on Parade.
What was I doing then?
Pathé.
Pathé.
Oh, Pathé.
Do I get a mark for my bird imitation?
Well, your side got it. It was, in fact, the theme music of Paramount News, yes. Dennis, what followed this in the good old days of cinema? Popped up then.
Yes, it was a cartoon.
Yes.
And I can see the kind of whirl kind of shape on the screen. I can't remember the cartoon character.
Probably grated carrot, actually.
Carrot?
Yes.
Bugs Bunny.
Yes, it was Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, I can't, yeah.
What, half a mark, does anybody think?
Yeah, I think
yes,
so.
Yes, all right, half a mark for the cartoon, yes. John Amos, what did this herald? Tough on the right arm muscles, that one is.
British movie tone?
No.
Gaumont British.
No. Gaumont British, yes. Louis Levy, of course.
Louis Levy.
That theme music from the movies, yes. You got it, I think, soon enough to go.
May
it.
I tell my Louis Levy story?
Oh, yes. Conductor of the orchestra.
He was a great conductor, but not the world's most academic man. And at one point he turned to the orchestra that he was conducting for the film movie and said, come on, boys, let's have a bit more noise. And the leader said, but Mr. Levy, it says on this particular bit of music, morendo. He said, well, let's have more of it, boys, but don't let it die away. He was a great man, nevertheless.
Yes, great man, nevertheless. I'm prepared for that at all. This is, I think, a tricky one, but we'll see. Alfred, when was this tune heard?
Was it when there used to be a little trailer thing, say in the old days, saying refreshments will now be served, and onto the screen came this picture of this beautiful girl, and the spotlight switched to an old hag live in the cinema? Was that it?
No, I'm afraid it's not.
It's a good story, isn't it?
It's a good story, yes. Yeah. It was in many, many, many films. Does anybody know? Do any of you on the panel know?
Was it Charlie Chase?
No, no, but you're in the right sort of field. No, anybody in the audience know where they've heard that tune? Pardon?
Harry Langdon.
No, no, no. Immediately after, Laurel and Hardy went into...
Nobody in the audience knew. You asked me that question. Do you remember the March of Time? Who remembers the March of Time? I know that one. Can I get a mark for that?
Well, go on, sing it. Sing it.
He's forgotten. The march of time, as we survey China's millions today, we see a new China molded by the hands of General Chiang Kai-shek, and then you see thousands of bayonets walking along.
Yes. A mark to all our guests. Fair enough. Ivan Novello wrote a show called Gay's the Word. Gracie Fields used to sing Beggar or King, You've Got to Sing a Gay Song. It's perhaps unfortunate that the word gay has now taken on a rather different association from what it meant in earlier days. But I'm going to ask our contestants all the same to sing four gay songs. They'll do anything for a mark, actually. Dennis, you first, a bachelor gay. I'll play you an introduction.
At 17, I missed it. Right, Matt, you don't really want to hear me
say
it. Eyes of a something blue at 74. He vaulted rather badly with eyes of a different
A mark to you. John, there was one show that they said made rich gay and gay rich. Rich the promoter, gay the poet responsible. Can you give us a song from that show? For your mark, any gay song.
If the heart of a man is depressed with cares, the mist will dispel when a woman appears. Like the notes of a fiddle, she sweetly, sweetly raises our spirits and charms our ears.
Yes, very nice. That was lovely. What was it from?
The Beggar's Opera.
Yes, thank you very much. Good. Mark to you. Alfred, can you sing us a highly risible song on the subject of a wingless insect of the order Siphonaptera?
Siphonaptera. Siphonaptera. Sounds like something out of you might find in a glass of scotch.
Yes, well, if you found this, you'd be in trouble, actually.
Would a knowledge of entomology help me in this?
I think it's
La Puce.
Yes.
By Mussorgsky, the flea.
Can you give us a stanza, please?
Yeah, what bit do you want? The laughing
bit
or the other bit?
The best bit.
The best bit. Once long ago a king kept such a fine fat flea. A flea. I'm going to tell my own orchestra. A flea. Hold it. It's gone. Flea.
Thank you. Yes, lovely. Ian, that's a song that ends with maniac laughter, but you get your gaiety from a road. And your key for it, I think, would be about A-flat. Here we are.
Any old coat and any old hat and any old stick will do, so long as the open road's in front and the sky above is blue. Any old friend can come along with me, and any true heart I say. I will sing my rhyme till I've had my time on the rollicking gay highway. I will sing my rhyme till I've had my time on the rollicking gay highway.
I'm afraid it's time for us to travel the road again. A victory this week by one mark for John Amis and Alfred Marx.
Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Alfred Marx, Dennis Norden and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Shryan.
You've been listening to My Music from the BBC, heard each week at this time. This is the WFMT Fine Arts Network.